This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa ta'ala wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, welcome to Abdurrahim Green's Thursday night Facebook and YouTube live broadcast. Today I'm going to be talking about a very, very powerful, very important subject. It's called the road to redemption. Redemption, brothers and sisters, is the human story. It is the story of humanity. It is really a huge part of what we are as human beings. And let's start straight away with a very, very powerful, very, very important story. The story of Adam and Eve, our father, our mother. The story of Adam and Eve is indeed a story of redemption. It is a true story of redemption. And as we know, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our Lord, he put Adam and Eve in paradise. Now, look. Whether you believe Adam and Eve, because there may be people who are not Muslim listening in today, whether you believe that Adam and Eve were literally true, whether they were real people or not, or if you believe, as most Muslims do, that Adam and Eve were real, they were real people, they really existed, and most Muslims believe in this story completely, as if it's history, it's not a story. But for all of us, the moral of the story is so important and it's so powerful because it speaks to all of us. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what is redemption. What is the difference between forgiveness, making istighfar, and making tawbah and redemption? Actually, redemption is really part of sincere tawbah or a sincere repentance. So, as a Muslim, we know that we don't believe that someone that God came down in the form of a human being and died for our sins, and that's how we get redeemed. Okay, that's not what we believe. We believe that salvation is through repentance. Salvation is through repentance. This is the means that we are saved in front of our Lord and our Creator. And in fact, in reality, this is how we are saved within ourselves. Because what you're going to find that's key about this is that there are some things, whether you believe in God or not, they're true for all human beings. And everybody, every human being, unless you are a complete psychopath, you need redemption. You need to be redeemed. That's why it's a story that you find repeated over and over and over again. Now, a lot of us, a lot of Muslims, a lot of us, you know, we just think that we can say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. God forgive me, God forgive me. And it's like, we just say Astaghfirullah and God will forgive us. Some people realize that no, seeking God's forgiveness is deeper. It's much deeper than that. And that really, in order to be on the right path, we have to make sincere repentance. Repentance is different from seeking forgiveness. Seeking forgiveness is asking for forgiveness, seeking forgiveness. But tawbah is a turning around. Tawbah is when you turn yourself around. And really part of tawbah, part of repentance, sincere repentance, is the whole process of redemption. Now, redemption means really when you pay the price. That's what it is. You pay the price for something. That's what redemption really is. And a lot of us, brothers and sisters, the reality is that we commit sins, we do wrong things, we harm other people. And there are many people, it's true, who don't even have the humility to be able to say sorry. There are people who don't even have that level of humility that they can even admit that they were wrong. That's the basic level. So really, in order, the process that we need in order to make a sincere repentance, the process that we need is that, number one, we have to recognize that we have done something wrong. There's the acknowledgement, there's the recognition that we have done something wrong. This is the first thing. And we have to feel bad about it. We have to recognize that we've done something wrong, and we have to feel remorse. We have to feel regret for those wrong things that we've done. And then the third thing is we need to actually ask and seek forgiveness. First of all, we need to seek forgiveness from Allah. But there are two types of sins that we can commit. One type of sin is a sin that is against yourself. You have oppressed yourself. You have transgressed against your own soul. You have harmed yourself. And you've done that by disobeying your Creator, by disobeying Allah. And this, of course, harms that relationship between you and God. That's what distances us and makes us further from God. When we commit sins, it increases that distance between us and God. It causes a rust to form on our hearts, and the light of guidance, we're not receptive to it anymore. And this is something we have to understand, brothers and sisters. Sins have consequences. And this is why the topic of redemption is very important. Because sometimes we forget. A lot of the time we forget. Sins have consequences. And this is the story of Adam and Eve. The story of Adam and Eve is a story of the consequence of sin. It's the story of the consequence of sin. They lived in paradise. And Allah said to them, eat and drink whatever you like, but don't go near this tree. One thing they were told not to do. Just one thing, brothers and sisters. That Allah told them, don't go near this tree. He didn't even say, don't eat from the fruit only. Don't even go near it. And Allah warned Adam and Eve that there was an enemy, Shaitan. An enemy that was dedicated only to one thing. And that was to their destruction. As we know from the story, Allah had created Adam, and he said to Adam, he said to the angels, bow down to Adam, and they all bowed down, except Iblis. Iblis was a jinn who was with the angels, and he refused. So when Allah said to Iblis, why are you not bowing down with those who bow down? Iblis said, I am better than him. I am better than him. This is what Shaitan, this is what Iblis said. And Allah said, there is no place for the arrogant here. But Iblis said, give me respite. Give me until the day of judgment, and I will mislead this mankind. I will take them astray from your straight path, except your chosen believing slaves. So Allah gave Shaitan what he asked for. He gave him until the day of judgment. And so Shaitan came, and Allah warned Adam and Eve, Shaitan is an enemy to you. He's a sworn enemy to you. But still, he came and he whispered. That's all he has the power to do. All he has the power is to make suggestions to our mind, to whisper, to put things in our head. And so he whispered to Adam and Eve. He tempted them. He whispered to them. Oh, he started putting ideas, bad thoughts in their mind about Allah. That Allah owned. And it's very interesting what Shaitan tempted Adam and Eve with. He said that Allah only wants to keep you from being like the angels. This is what Shaitan said. The reason why Allah does not want you to eat from this tree is because Allah does not want you to be like the angels. Now this is very interesting. Because actually what Shaitan is tempting Adam and Eve with is a type of... It's very strange because you think, well, why would Adam and Eve want to be like the angels? Allah made the angels bow down to Adam. But you see, here it is. The angels are worshipping Allah the whole time. The angels are worshipping God, non-stop worshipping God. Like we breathe, angels need to worship God. That is what their existence is based upon. We don't believe in our Islamic, in our theology, that the angels sin. No. Angels can never disobey God. They always obey God. And they remember God constantly. So Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. You know, you can imagine eating and drinking and enjoying all these things in paradise and relaxing and chilling. And the angels are constantly non-stop praising God. So actually, Shaitan is tempting Adam and Eve. It's like Allah doesn't want you to be like these angels who are constantly, constantly worshipping and praising Him. This tree, if you eat it, it's going to make you like that. You see, actually, this is a type of extremism. Shaitan is trying to get Adam and Eve interested, like it's a type of religious extremism. They want to do good. They want to be worshipping God even more. So this is very interesting, that the technique that Shaitan is using. So anyway, after much, you know, tempting and whispering and putting things in their mind, Adam and Eve, they eat from the tree. Okay, and so because of that, they, according to some, you know, people who explain the Quran, that Adam and Eve were clothed in light. And when they ate from the tree, that clothing of nur, that clothing of light, left them, and they were naked. And then they started to cover themselves up. And Allah said to Adam and Eve, didn't I tell you not that Shaitan was an enemy? Didn't I tell you not to eat from this tree? So Allah expelled Adam and Eve and Shaitan out of paradise. Okay, out of paradise. And put the human beings, put us, Adam and Eve, on earth. This will be your resting place. This is where you're going to stay. Now, then Adam learnt from Allah words of repentance. Allah learnt words. He learnt to repent to Allah. He learnt words of forgiveness. And he implored and he begged Allah for forgiveness. This is the big difference between the shaitani nature and the human nature. The nature of the human is to seek forgiveness. The nature of the human being is to seek redemption. This is the essence of the human story. Seeking redemption is the essence of the human story, brothers and sisters. Okay? So, excuse me. Excuse me! That's my kids arguing. The essence of the human story, the essence of the human story is redemption. So brothers and sisters, we have to understand, Shaitan, he's the arrogant one. He will never repent. He will never repent. This is the difference. Arrogance. You see, what is arrogance? Arrogance is that thing, pride is that thing about which the Prophet Muhammad said, if you have one atom's weight worth of pride, one atom's weight, you will never, ever enter paradise. And what is pride? Pride is not like having nice clothes. No, right? Not having beautiful things. This is not pride. Pride is when you reject the truth when it comes to you and when you look down upon people. So, if you have nice things and you are well off and you look down upon people, that's pride. You have that type of pride, you'll never enter paradise. And when the truth comes to you and you reject it, you will never enter paradise, even if you have an atom's weight worth of pride. So this is the first thing. And what is the situation of a proud person? A proud person will not admit their sin. This is one of the qualities of the proud person. The proud person will not admit their sin. They would rather make haram what is halal and make halal what is haram than admit their sin. This is the reality. And there are people like this. This is the shaitani. This is the evil nature. This is the nature of the devil, of shaitan. This is the nature that he will refuse to admit his errors. He will refuse to admit his sins. And so if you have that quality, and this is something you have to watch out for. Watch out for this evil quality of pride, of refusing to accept the truth when it comes to you. And so a lot of people would rather say, because people naturally don't like to admit that they're wrong. This is the reality. We don't like to think that we're doing wrong. We don't like to admit we're doing wrong. But it's very dangerous. This attitude and this mindset of thinking that somehow you're perfect and hating to admit that you've done something wrong is very, very dangerous. In fact, it's the most dangerous way of thinking that you can possibly have. It's destructive, totally destructive in this life and the next. Because everyone is going to sin. The Prophet Muhammad said, the son of Adam sins by night and sins by day. We're all going to commit sins. Every single one of us, every descendant of Adam and Eve, we all commit sins. That is the inevitable reality of the human condition. We're human beings. We make mistakes, we transgress, we commit sins. This is the fact. We should accept that. But what we shouldn't do is try and make it out as if the sins that we are committing are not sins. that really we're not doing anything wrong. This is arrogance and this is pride. And a person who is arrogant and proud will never make repentance because they will never admit that they're doing something wrong. They will never, they will not allow themselves to admit that they are doing something wrong. This is a very, very dangerous psychological condition. And you see this in some people. You see this in some politicians. You see this in people of fame. You see this even amongst ordinary people. Okay, it's a whole condition. There's a condition, narcissism, that's what they call it. When a person is so obsessed with themselves, they think so much of themselves, they can't even imagine that they are doing something wrong. We talked about this previously in the whole talk I gave about mindset. Remember when I talked about the closed mindset, okay, and the growth mindset? Okay, so this is something I went into even more deeply in my my online course. By the way, at the end of this, I've got a very, very exciting and a very exciting announcement to make about my mastery classes. Very exciting, but I'm not going to get diverted right now. I just want to mention, if you haven't shared, share, because we've got a lot more coming in this Facebook Live, Thursday night, Abdulrahim Green's Facebook Live, The Road to Redemption. We're talking about the human story, the essence of the human story, the how do we make things right? How do we make things right? We've done wrong, we've committed sins, we've transgressed, how do we make it right? We have to really understand, brothers and sisters. So I've got an important announcement. Please share, sharing is caring, okay? So, alhamdulillah. And if you're on YouTube, I've got it live on YouTube as well. Please, please, if you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, make sure you do that. Inshallah, in the near future, I'm gonna be putting lots of stuff on YouTube that you're not gonna be finding on my Facebook page. So make sure you subscribe. Okay, guys, so, the story of Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve, they come to earth and Adam learns words of forgiveness from Allah. And Allah forgives him. Yes, Allah forgives him. Allah forgives Adam and Allah forgives Eve. But the sin has consequences, brothers and sisters. I am sitting here on planet earth. We are not in paradise right now. That is a consequence. That is a consequence, right? We're sitting here as a consequence of what happened to Adam and Eve. Right? So, although Adam repented and though Adam was forgiven, he was still on earth and he still had to stay on earth. He still had to suffer the consequences of that sin. And if, by the way, just as a side point, if what Christians claim is true, that they say, you know, Jesus has paid the price, then why are we still on earth if Jesus paid the price? If Jesus paid the price, right? Or if you're a Christian and you've accepted Jesus, you should be in paradise. You shouldn't be here on earth, right? And you shouldn't die because the wages of sin is death. Anyway, so this is just a point about some wrong theological ideas, some wrong ideas people have about what is redemption. The true idea of redemption means this is what redemption is, really, even psychologically. Theologically and psychologically, even if you don't believe in God, the concept, the basic ABCs of redemption are the same. You have to recognize you've done something wrong. If you don't recognize you've done something wrong, how can you be redeemed? You can't. And a lot of people never get there, brothers and sisters. It's one of the things you have to understand, because when you transgress, when you commit sins, when you do wrong things, it has an effect. It affects the mind and it affects the heart. And actually, one of the things that is so important for you, all of us, to understand is a very, very important thing. It is actually a lot easier not to transgress and not to commit sins than it is to truly redeem yourself, to truly make true repentance. True repentance is not easy, because true repentance means turning yourself around. It means turning yourself around. And I have a beautiful, beautiful story. I can't tell the whole story because it's really long and I don't want to be on Facebook Live for too long, guys. But what I'm going to do is, if you don't know the hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik, I'm going to post it up on my Facebook page, and I will mention very, very in brief the story of Ka'b ibn Malik, because it is the most amazing story of redemption. But it makes you understand how you have to suffer for your sins, and how even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes people suffer for their sins. And the road to redemption, brothers and sisters, means you have to be ready to pay the price. You have to be ready to pay the price. Sins have consequences. And if you want to be redeemed, you have to be patient. You have to put up with what it takes. You have to be ready to pay the price. And we'll talk about the price. So Adam and Eve, the price is that we have to stay on this earth and be patient and toil and work. And all of us, we're all here. That's the consequence of one sin of Adam and Eve. Okay, brothers and sisters? So of course the story of Adam is the story of redemption. And of course he did, alhamdulillah, he redeemed himself. And he was the first, according to many scholars, the first messenger of Allah. Okay, so this is the story. Shaitan didn't. Shaitan persisted in his rebellion and his disbelief. Choose which mindset characteristic you want to have. You want to have the characteristic of the devil, or you want to have the truly human nature. The true human nature is to seek redemption. Okay, and that demands humility. It demands recognition that you've done wrong. And then seeking forgiveness for that. And here's the important thing. If you have harmed another person, because there's two things. There's your relationship with God and the way things you can do to harm yourself. But there is also when you harm other people, when you transgress against other people, when you injure others, then you have transgressed against them. So in order to be redeemed, you have to seek their forgiveness. Yes, you can ask Allah. If you've backbitten someone and you've slandered someone and you said lies about them, and especially in these day and age, brothers and sisters, you can say a lie about someone and that lie in an instant, you can type it right here on this line in this Facebook Live and boom, 22,000, you know, like nearly half a million people watch this Facebook Live that you're watching right now. Okay, because mashallah, you are sharing it and it's a lot of people see it. Imagine you wrote some stupid comment and you said something nasty about somebody. Half a million people. And imagine those half a million people started telling other people. Look how one evil thing can spread. How can you redeem yourself? How can you redeem yourself from such a transgression? Because you will have to seek forgiveness from that person. You'll have to seek forgiveness. And if you don't get forgiveness from that person in this life, you will have to pay them on the day of judgment. You will have to pay them on the day of judgment. It's the only way to redeem yourself. Or you like, okay, so as you said bad things, you can say good things. If you stole something from someone, you return it. If you transgressed against somebody, then so you have to think about how terrible is the crime of murder. How can you redeem yourself from murder? And that's the next story I want to tell you. The next story I want to tell you is about the man who murdered 99 people. This is a beautiful story of redemption. A man, he killed 99 people. But there was something inside him, brothers and sisters. You know what? He wanted to repent. He wanted to change. He wanted to be different. So he sought for and looked for a man who he thought was pious. So he went after this man, looking for this man who he heard was a very pious man, and he asked him, and he said to him, I've killed 99 people, and I want God to forgive me. Is there anything I can do? Is there any way I can get forgiveness from God? And this man said to him, you've killed 99 people, you are finished, there's nothing you can do. God will never forgive you for such crimes. So he took out his sword and slaughtered him right there and made it 100. Even though, despite that, this man still wanted to seek forgiveness. He still wanted to seek forgiveness. So then he searched and he started looking for a man of knowledge, a knowledgeable person. He started asking, who is the most knowledgeable? Who is the most wise? So he found and he was directed to a certain man. So this man had great knowledge and he had great wisdom. So he went to this man. He said, I've killed 100 people. Is there any way God can forgive me? Is there any way of forgiveness for me? And this man said, there is nothing between you and God forgiving you except one thing. So this man said, tell me what it is. Tell me what that one thing is so I can do it. He said, you have to leave this land of evil people and you need to go to such and such land of good people. So this is all you need to do. If you do that, then this is your repentance. This is your redemption. So this is a story of redemption, brothers and sisters. So this man traveled straight away. Straight away he traveled and he left this evil land. But what happened? Halfway, on the way to this land, he died. So the angels came down, the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment. They both came down and they were arguing, who is going to take his soul? So the angels of mercy said, we should take his soul because this man, he left his sin, he left this land of sin. And, you know, he had repented, so we should take his soul. And then the angels of punishment said, no, we should take his soul. This man did no good in his life. He killed 100 people. He did no good at all. We should take his soul. So Allah sent an angel to arbitrate between them. And according to one narration, well, anyway, this angel said to measure the distance between the land of the evil people and the land of the good people. And it was found that he was one step closer to the land of the good people. Or in one narration, Allah actually shrunk the earth to make the land of the good people closer. The point being, brothers and sisters, this is a story of, yes, Allah is forgiving. Allah is the most forgiving. He is the most merciful. There is no doubt about this whatsoever. No one except a disbeliever despairs of the mercy of Allah. This is one of the qualities of kufr, that a person who does not know Allah, they despair of his mercy. They think that they can't pray to him. They think they can't approach him. They think they're too sinful and they're too bad and that Allah, God will never forgive me. Then you don't believe in God. You don't know how huge and great and vast is the forgiveness of God. God's forgiveness is, if you committed sins as big as the heavens and the earth and you ask God to forgive you sincerely, not only will God forgive you, not only that, but he will give you good deeds nearly as great as the evil that you have done. This is the forgiveness of subhanAllah. Allah's forgiveness, God's forgiveness is so great. His forgiveness is so vast, subhanAllah. But still, yes, God's forgiveness is so vast and so great. But that doesn't mean that sins don't have consequences, brothers and sisters. They have consequences. When you do bad things happen. You can, if you drink alcohol all your life and you know it's haram and you drink alcohol, what's going to happen to you? It's going to poison your body. It's going to poison your mind. Yes, you can make istighfar. Yes, you can seek forgiveness. But how about all the time that you've lost and the good deeds that you could have done and the damage that you've done to your body? Certainly Allah can heal you. But still, in reality, the sin has consequences. This is something the whole ummah we need to know. You see, we, not only is this an issue for us individually, how about the Muslims? Have we really fulfilled our duty as a nation? Have we really, as a nation, as an ummah, done what? Have we fulfilled our commission? Have we really fulfilled what we have been entrusted with and entasked with by Allah? This is a very big, how are we as an ummah going to redeem ourselves, brothers and sisters? This is the question. How are we going to redeem ourselves? We have been given the task of taking this kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and spreading this light of truth to the whole of humanity. But no, we don't do that. What do? We bicker amongst each other. We fight amongst each other. We bicker and argue about everything. But are we concerned with conveying the message of Islam? I don't think so. That's not what we're concerned with. We are lost in this world and the things of this world. So the story of the man who killed 100 people, this is a very, very powerful story of redemption. A man he really tried to redeem. He was ready to pay the price. Paying the price meant he was ready to leave everything. Leave the land of the evil people. Leave everything behind. His money, his wealth, his family, everything. He was ready to pay the price. This is what I'm talking about. Are we ready to pay the price? What is the price you have to pay for the evil and the wrong that you've done to people around you? What is the price that we, the Ummah of Muhammad, we have to pay because we have not fulfilled our duty and obligation? Listen to this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you abandon struggling, the term used is jihad. Jihad means to struggle to the utmost of your ability. Sometimes it is against your nafs, sometimes it's with your tongue, sometimes it's physically by fighting. These are all different types of jihad. So the Prophet ﷺ said, when you abandon this struggle, and what does it mean? You're struggling to make the word of Allah the highest. It doesn't mean struggling to make lots of money. It doesn't mean struggling to have a nice house. No, it means struggling to make Allah's word the highest, to make yourself obedient to Him. Okay, this is the struggle, to overcome your desires, to make the word of Allah highest around you in the world. When we abandon this struggle and we deal in ina, which is the lowest form of riba, of interest, and you hang on to the cow's tails, mean, and you just content yourself with agriculture, meaning we're just happy with our 9-to-5 job, we're just happy with our daily life, we're just going to work, coming home, going to school, coming back, like that. So we just deal with our daily life, you know, we say our prayers, but we forget struggling for Allah, for His path, sacrificing. Then Allah will humiliate you at the hands of your enemies, and He will not lift it from you until you return to your deen. That's redemption. The redemption is we have to come back to our way of life, our deen. Okay, the deen of Islam, which was shown to us through the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the redemption, you see. It's the price we have to pay. That's what it means. Redemption is the price we have to pay. Okay, brothers and sisters, I want to finish with an amazing story. I can't tell this whole story, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this story, inshallah, I'm going to cut and paste it. You can easily Google search it anyway. The story of the three people who are left behind. But the main character in this story is Ka'b ibn Malik. Now, I'm going to abridge it because it's a long, long story, but it is the most amazing story, and it is a true story about a man who took the road to redemption. This is an amazing story of a person who really redeemed himself, you know, and he had to pay the consequence of his sin. I want to mention, though, something about Ka'b ibn Malik. Ka'b ibn Malik was one of the people who took the pledge underneath the tree. Okay, so he took the pledge. Okay. And he took the pledge at Aqaba. Sorry, this is not the pledge under, that's Hudaybiyah. He took the pledge of Aqaba. So he's one of the people who took the pledge to defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he considered this pledge and being part of this to be something even greater than being in the Battle of Badr. He himself didn't fight in the Battle of Badr, but he was, the main story is anyway, there was an expedition. It was very hot, the journey was long, and normally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was going to organize a military expedition somewhere, you know, he would tell people we're going this way or that way, and then he would go a different way. This is in case there were spies and so on and so forth, but in this case he told everybody we have to go to Tabuk because it was very hot and the journey was very long, so everybody needed to prepare themselves. So everybody except the hypocrites, everybody was preparing themselves for this journey. Now, as Ka'b ibn Malik mentions, that he had never been so wealthy. This time he had never been so wealthy. He had a house, he had gardens, he had 2 she camels. Yet he did not make any preparations. He said he was intending to, every day he intended to, and people were making preparations, and he said, I will do it tomorrow, I will do it tomorrow. He procrastinated, brothers and sisters. This story is amazing because this is exactly what I cover in my mastery classes. I cover the whole issue of procrastination. I cover the whole issue of patience. Not patience in calamities. The most difficult patience is the patience when you are rich, when you have wealth. This is most of us. Most of us are not so poor and in such difficult circumstances. The most of us, the patience that we face is the patience of being strong and following the right thing when we have wealth. This is a different type. And according to many scholars, it's even a harder type of patience. Because we're comfortable, our life is comfortable, our life is easy. Okay, so this is exactly the case of Qa'ad ibn Malik. He was in a very comfortable situation. He kept thinking, I will prepare tomorrow, I will get ready tomorrow. But before he left it, the expedition had left. And even then he was thinking, I'm going to prepare. But before he knew it, it was just too late. And he was too late. And when the Prophet ﷺ got to Tabuk, only then he noticed where is Qa'ad ibn Malik. So one of the people with him said, oh, he's so happy with his nice new fine garments. He's just busy admiring and so full of pride with his new garments. He didn't bother to join us. So someone said, you know, fear Allah, we only know good things about Qa'ad ibn Malik. But the Prophet ﷺ was quiet. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ returned to Medina, all the hypocrites came to offer their excuses. Oh, why we didn't join, this happened and that happened. And Qa'ad ibn Malik was thinking, he couldn't lie to the Prophet ﷺ. He was thinking of lying. Even people were telling him, just give your excuses, the Prophet will accept your excuses. But he couldn't. He said, Allah will expose me. Allah will expose me to the Prophet ﷺ. So he really had taqwa. And he just told the truth. He told the Prophet ﷺ the truth, that I had camels, I had everything, there was no reason for me to stay behind. I got distracted and I stayed behind. And so the Prophet ﷺ was very upset. And he refused to talk to Qa'ad ibn Malik. He refused to talk, and there was actually two others as well. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ did not talk to them. He would, when Qa'ad ibn Malik, he came to say salam, the Prophet ﷺ would turn away from him. He would do anything, just hoping the Prophet would just look at him. The Prophet would turn away, the Prophet ﷺ would not even look at him. And he began to feel this really, really strongly. You know, because of his love for the Prophet ﷺ and his iman. And now even his relatives refused to talk to him. And then the Prophet ﷺ even ordered the wives of these companions to leave them. So even the wife of Qa'ab, she didn't divorce him, but he left his house. So he was left really on his own. No one was talking to him. No one was communicating with him. Now it's very interesting that at this time, even some Christians, they got hold of the news of how Qa'ab was treated. And what did they do? They tried to bribe him. They said, look how your Prophet is teaching you. Why don't you come over to us and, you know, we will support you and we will... So even he is being bribed at this time by them. Did he give in to them? No. This is his patience. He was patient in this very, very difficult circumstance. This is the price. This is what I'm talking about, redemption. The price you have to pay for your sin. And he was paying the price. He was paying the price by his patience. He was paying the price by his perseverance. His patience and perseverance on doing the right thing. And that's what real tawbah is. That's what real repentance is. That just as you did bad, you try to do good. Just as you messed up, you try to make it right. That's what it's all about. Redemption is trying to make it right. You messed up, you try to make it right. Okay, so this is what Qa'ad did. And in the end of the story, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And there's so many beautiful lessons from it. But in the end, alhamdulillah, that Allah revealed that they got left behind. So Allah did not blame them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved them and accepted their repentance. So when Qa'ad ibn Malik heard that Allah accepted his repentance, then he went to the Prophet sallallahu, and the Prophet was so happy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so happy. So when Qa'ad ibn Malik went, he said, because of this, because Allah has accepted my repentance, I will give away all of my wealth. And the Prophet said, no, you should keep some. So anyway, he gave away nearly all his wealth, kept a little bit. This is real, real repentance. This is redemption. He gave away. And he said, because Allah saved me, because I told the truth, I will never, ever tell a lie. He swore to never tell a lie. And when Qa'ab ibn Malik is relating this story, he says, until this day, that he's never knowingly told a lie. He's never told a lie. That's what he said when he was narrating. And he said, may Allah keep me from doing that until the day I die. So brothers and sisters, this is a very, very beautiful story. three beautiful stories of redemption, of Adam and Eve. This is the human story of the man who killed 99 people, and amazing story of Qab ibn Malik, which inshallah I will post on my Facebook, inshallah, the whole story. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters. So all of us, we need to try and redeem ourselves. We need to try and redeem ourselves. Think about the things that we have done wrong. Think about how we have not only transgressed against Allah, but think about the things that we have done to transgress against others. It could be our parents, it could be our brother, our sisters, it could be our friends, it could be complete strangers. Even we, the Ummah, we need to think, as Muslims, as a nation of people, we need to think, have we really given humanity the right that they deserve from us? Have we fulfilled our obligations to the whole creation, the creation? If you're not even a Muslim, maybe you're not a Muslim listening to this. As a human being, have you really fulfilled your duty and obligation to the planet? This is something. Look at what we're doing. Look at what we're doing to our planet right now. How are we going to redeem ourselves from the litany of crimes that we're committing against each other and against our planet? But redemption is something we need to find, because we will never have peace of mind. We will never have peace in our mind, in our hearts, unless we take that road to redemption. So that's it for me tonight, brothers and sisters, from my Facebook Live. If you haven't shared already, sharing is caring. I said I've got some very exciting news, so don't go quite yet. I've got some very exciting news. Please share this. The reason is because maybe, imagine if you share this with someone, and someone, because of this, they make repentance, they make tawbah, they change their life, they change everything round, then you will share in the reward of that. Subhanallah. So may Allah guide us to be of those who are truly repentant. May Allah guide us to be of those who not only seek His forgiveness and not only make true repentance, but are people who truly redeem themselves, who truly redeem themselves. And just as we do evil, we do good, inshallah. So one final thing I want to mention to you, brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, you've probably heard a lot about my online courses. So important, actually, the whole topic of willpower. How do you overcome procrastination? How do you overcome your desires? How do you stop yourself committing sins? This is what it's all about. Okay, this is what it's all about. I talk about patience. I talk about the evil effects of sins. I talk about willpower, which is really how do you overcome your desires. Now, the great news is that, alhamdulillah, I've talked with my guys who I'm working together with, and they have agreed to lower the price, like, massively. I don't know how long they're going to agree to doing this for, but that for an amount of time, I don't know how long, they have agreed to lower the price to just $47 for the course. Okay, this is I don't say it because it's my course, but it really is a life-transforming course. You can check out more on masteryclasses.com. It's about 19 lessons. Each one is from only 5 to 10, maybe 15 minutes per lesson. And then you have a little exercise that you do every day. You do this for 19 days. It will really transform the way you are able to deal with your impulses and with your desires. Okay, you can see some testimonials there. On top of that, there's a possibility to also get the other modules on patience, on mindset, on learning how to learn. And there's a whole lot of other stuff there as well. I think there's 4 or 5 other mini courses that you can get. So this is the cheapest that we've offered it. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to be able to offer it at this price again, but the guys have agreed. They're ready to give it at that price. Alhamdulillah, because I'm working with some brothers. So just $47, brothers and sisters. So please check it out. Alhamdulillah. It always still comes with a guarantee. If you don't find this works for you, you can get your money back. Brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah. May Allah help us all in this life and the next. May Allah make us once again. We ask Allah to make us of those who are truly repentant. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel and share this. Sharing is caring. Please, we want as many people as possible to benefit from these lectures, inshallah. I will be here again, if Allah gives me life, if I'm still alive, next Thursday. I will be here next Thursday, 9 p.m. GMT. Greenwich Mean Time, British Time, 9 p.m. Catch me on Facebook Live. I don't know what the topic's going to be. I've got so many topics. If you have any suggestions for topics or things that you would like me to talk about, why don't you leave it in a comment, inshallah. Leave a comment about the sort of things you'd like me to talk about. I can make notes of it. Some of you have already been doing that. May Allah bless you. I, of course, will be going through your comments. I will do my best to reply to as many of them as possible. Until next time, may Allah bless you. May Allah guide you. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. By time, all of mankind are in a loss except those who believe and do righteous deeds and join together in the mutual teaching of truth, and they support each other in sabr, in patience. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Facebook and YouTube live broadcast. Today I'm going to be talking about a very, very powerful, very important subject. It's called the road to redemption. Redemption, brothers and sisters, is the human story. It is the story of humanity. It is really a huge part of what we are as human beings. And let's start straight away with a very, very powerful, very, very important story, the story of Adam and Eve. Our father, our mother.